Everybody say Big Ten. Big Ten. You're wondering what that is? We're going to be looking at the Ten Commandments as we journey through this month. And if you missed my message from last Sunday, do pick it up on our podcast because it builds the foundation for everything that we're going to be working on. But just to summarize, we learned last week that the Ten Commandments, whilst they are from the Old Testament, and whilst Jesus addressed them in the New Testament, what is the correlation to them as believers for us now in this world that we're living in? The Ten Commandments, we know Jesus never did abolish the Ten Commandments, but he fulfilled them. He said, I've come to fulfill the law. And so we know in our journey with Christ Jesus, when we come into a relationship with Jesus, we know that he has fulfilled the law. And our role is not to attain our salvation or live our lives trying to keep the law, because we have been freed from the law, which brings the curse, which brings death. We now have a relationship with Jesus Christ, through whom we have life. And when we believe in him, he enables us to live our lives freely and with the power of God that is at work in our lives. So do we have to keep the Ten Commandments? Of course we do. It is God's word. But it's not just about keeping the Ten Commandments, because Jesus raised the standard completely. He wasn't just talking about what people saw you do. Lo kya dekhenga. He was talking about what was happening on the inside of your thoughts. What was the motive and the attitudes of our hearts. And so Jesus took what was considered just to be the action to the core of who we are, the very motive of our beings. And so God wants us, through our walk and relationship with Jesus Christ, is to have a pure attitude, to have a pure heart towards him, towards people, so we can live our lives free from all of those things. Now today we're going to be learning something that's quite new, and I want you to watch this little clip. Thank you, Father.
Evening came. He said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him."
This morning we were looking at two new commandments. We're going to be looking, firstly, at the commandment that commands us to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. And the second commandment we're going to look at is from Exodus 20 again. It says, "No carved gods of any size, shape or form of anything whatever, whether of things that fly or walk or swim. Don't bow down to them, don't serve them, because I am God, your God, and I am a most jealous God." We're going to be focusing on these two commandments, but I'm going to focus primarily on the commandment of the Sabbath. And help us understand how that commandment still has an importance in our life and how it translates since the coming and Jesus fulfilling the law. What does the Sabbath mean? And do we, as believers, have to keep the Sabbath? The Sabbath is originally a Hebrew word, a word that, you know, means to cease, to put an end to bring completion to something, to bring something to rest. That's what the word Sabbath means. And for Jewish people, it was a day for them to rest from intentional work, to remember how God had rescued them from slavery, and also to remember how God had rested on the seventh day after creation. So it was a sign of the covenant between Israel and the Lord. And so for the Jewish people, they were commanded to observe the Sabbath. And it's one of the commandments that says, remember to observe the Sabbath. In other words, perhaps they already knew they should have been doing that. And so this was a sign for the Jewish people for generations to come. But hello, are you a Jew? You believe in Jesus, that makes you a Jew. Well, then you better be circumcised as well. All right? But the Sabbath for the Jew begins Friday at sunset and ends on Saturday. So what implication does this commandment have to do with us, and how do we translate it and make it real? For those people who are Jews, even to this day, a number of my friends are Jews, they keep the Sabbath. They, at sundown, they have a whole ceremony and a family time that they spend together, and then there's a day of rest. If you go to places where Jewish people live in communities or cities or towns or even to Israel, on the Sabbath, the lifts run automatically, so nobody presses a button. Everything just happens. All the foreigners work on the Saturday, so the Jews at home ceasing from work. So the Sabbath was given to Israel. Everybody say, the Sabbath was given to Israel. Not the church. Alright? The Sabbath was given to Israel, not the church. The Sabbath is still a Saturday, not a Sunday, and that will never change. The Sabbath is part of the Old Testament law. Everybody say, the Sabbath is part of the Old Testament law. Now, if you want to live in the Old Testament Mosaic law, go ahead. But if you're born again and you believe in Jesus Christ, then you are free from the bondage of the law. Doesn't mean to say we don't follow the law, but you are free from the bondage of the law. Sabbath keeping is not required for us as Christians. Isn't that good to know? Be it a Saturday or a Sunday. But then we do talk about the day of the Lord. Sunday is the
holy day.
What day?
Holy day.
The Lord's day. There was a time where most nations on Sunday all work ceased and people took rest, because that was considered a day in the week where Christians, and this is something the Christians did, Constantinople instituted this day of rest, where Christians set aside this day, which is what made them unique from everybody else. On the seventh day, which actually Sunday is the first day of the week, they ceased and rested from working and gave that day exclusively over to the service of God. Now, the Bible also says that Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. Oh, I thought you said if I believe in Jesus, I don't need to keep the Sabbath. Well, Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. So if he's the Lord of the Sabbath and we're working and walking with him, what obligation do we have? Now, for many of us, we live with this notion and that Sunday is the Lord's day. How many of you think that? You cook extra special curry when you go home. It's the Lord's day. You have a special afternoon nap on the Lord's day. You might even go to church three times on the Lord's day. But let me tell you, That is not the only holy day in the week. When we are followers of Jesus Christ, every day belongs to God. Every day is a holy day. Every day is a day where our lives are set aside to live and serve God, because we have been set free from the law. But we need to understand the principle that God was trying to get to his people, which was one of rest. Everybody say rest. How many of you rest? I'm not talking about sleeping extra. I'm talking about resting. Where your mind is at rest. Where your emotions are at rest. Where your body is at rest. God created us because we need that rest. Now, if God instituted rest at the beginning of creation, after having worked hard for 6 days, he then rested. So also our physical bodies require that rest. And so for us, when we think about the Sabbath, when we think about the commandment of keeping the Sabbath and keeping a holy day, what God is really wanting us to do as New Testament believers is to focus on setting aside time for us to replenish, reflect, to refresh and relax our human bodies, our minds and our emotions. And yes, there's nothing wrong with putting an extra focus in on Him. Now, is Sunday the only holy day? No, my good friend in Dubai, who has Dubai City Church, their service, their Sunday is Thursday night. Because their weekend is on Friday. So if, as Christians living there, Sunday is not the holy day. I'm working on the holy day. God forgive me. No, we are free from all that nonsense. We have been set free. Now, we all have cultures that have developed, and in our culture here, Sunday is a day we set aside. Every day is. But Sunday, we come together to worship God. All right? Do you get where I'm going with this? You got that? Is that liberating? Sunday is not the Christian Sabbath. Everybody say Sunday is not the Christian Sabbath. Although we should set aside a time of rest. The Sabbath was a rest principle, not about a day that you just set aside. It was a principle of rest, ceasing from work. Now the Bible talks about a rest that we have, called the believer's rest, where we have a rest that we have because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. But we see Jesus did something quite unique. He healed the sick on the Sabbath day when he was here on earth. He raised the dead. He did miracles. He did all those things that shocked people. And all those religious people said, Jesus is breaking the law. He's not keeping the commandment of not working on the Sabbath, ceasing from rest. And they questioned him and questioned those people that he healed and that he restored. But there was a consequence for not keeping that day of rest. Do you know what the consequence of not keeping the day of rest was? Death. If anybody was caught, according to the Mosaic law, of not keeping the day of rest, they were stoned to death. Hello? You can tell that to your boss. If I come into work on my day of rest, there's a possibility I might not come back again. So you take your pick. Either you give me a day off, or you may not have me back again. That's not true. That was a joke. But the point I'm making, that is what it was. That's how important God wanted his people to rest, to cease from striving and working and trying to achieve things. Now today, society has completely done away with that. Shops are open on what was one day of rest. 24/7 shopping, walk in anytime, get what you want, I mean, you go, especially in the West, there's 24 hours McDonald's, 24 hours petrol, 24 hours everything else. Here there's 24 hours whatapau, 24 hours kebabs, whatever. There's nothing that you can't get whenever you want it. There's never a time where we all cease from activity. And that is what God was wanting us to learn. The importance of giving this frail human body the opportunity to rest, to relax, and to recover. That's in the physical. But what about the spiritual? For us, in our relationship with Christ, we cease from striving and trying to earn our salvation. We cease from trying to say, God, I need to be good. God, I need to be better. God, I... No, we are made righteous through the finished work of the cross. My salvation has been paid for. I don't earn it. When I believe in Jesus Christ, I know that I'm saved by faith through grace. Amen? But by grace through faith, I am saved. And so I'm not trying to work my relationship with God. Say, God, if I'm a better person, then I'll make it to heaven. No, you're not striving and working. And that is the rest that we believers enter into when we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? Amen? You're not trying to earn brownie points with God. You're not trying to, God, if I do extra work, you love me more. God loves you no less than he did yesterday, than he will tomorrow, and than he ever will. His love for you is uncontainable. And it is consistent, no matter where you are in your relationship with him. But we are called to that rest of not striving to earn our salvation, because Jesus has done it for us. Jesus, as he rested after performing the ultimate sacrifice, he sat down and rested, ceased from his labor of atonement, because there was nothing more to be done. Once and for all, he was that sacrifice for all eternity that allows anyone who believes in him to enter into that rest with Jesus Christ. So God desires rest for us because it does not come to us naturally. Have you discovered that? I'm a kind of person that I need to be doing this. I'm not doing something, I'm kind of, I get fidgety. All right? And nowadays, it's so easy to feel like you're doing a lot. You just pick up your phone. And the whole world is at your fingertips. And you can go from shopping to do a world tour somewhere else and then do a little bit of TV. I mean, we just feel so busy with all we're doing. Here's a challenge to myself and to all of you. How about taking a rest from these digital gadgets? And all the women said, about time, somebody said that. How about setting ourselves free from needing to check our phones as soon as we wake up? How about allowing our phones to go on silent when we sleep, resting from the unnecessary, hi, hello, are you there? It's like, I don't need to know whether I'm there or not at 10 o'clock in the night. I'm resting right now. I don't need to respond to your emoji with a thumbs up or whatever it is. It can wait till tomorrow. I'm speaking to myself right now. Everybody say amen. All right. Jesus said, come to me, all those who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We saw the story of Jesus on the boat and the disciples. What was the lesson that we can learn from that very powerful illustration? In the midst of a crisis and a storm, Jesus was at peace. Storms come to our lives. Crises hit us. Financial crises, emotional crises, uncertainty, not knowing what the future holds. It feels like your life is in a turmoil. What do we usually do in those times? Come on, tell me. What do you usually do in a time of crisis? We fear. You're fearful of the uncertainty. You eat too much. That's one of the things. Thank you for confessing all your sins, brother. Keep going. Keep going. We got a communion later on. All right. We fear. Fear becomes the predominant emotion and thought that is resident in our lives. We fear whether we will make it through the week. We fear whether we'll make it through the month. We fear, will I get well? We fear, will I have enough finances? We fear if I'll pass or fail. All those things, fear robs you of rest. Everybody say, fear robs me of rest. So when I am fearing, I am not trusting. And when I am not trusting, I cannot rest. The reason why the disciples were not able to ride through the storm, even though they had Jesus with them. Now understand this. The prior verses, before they went out on the boat, they had seen Jesus feed 5,000 people. They had seen Jesus heal the sick. They had seen Jesus turn water into wine. They had seen Jesus do a whole lot of miracles. So they knew he had the power to do amazing things. And here was this guy who had superhuman powers with them on a boat. And the moment the storm comes up, what grips them?
Fear.
Fear. Oh, I'm not like that. I have Jesus in me and I know no fear at all. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on. Jesus dwells within us. Yet we fear. And when we fear, we are unable to trust. And because we are not trusting, we never cease from working through fear. Therefore, we never experience the rest that we can have in Jesus Christ. Restfulness is a choice. To physically rest is to make a choice to remove all those things from your life that allow you to focus on resting. Trusting is a spiritual form of rest where we cease from worrying, where we cease from trying to work to make things happen, and we move from that activity of God, if I work longer, God, if I work harder, God, if I do this, then I'll have enough. Saying, God, I'm going to trust you. There is a shop in the United States that sells chicken. It's called Chick-a-Flick. What's it called?
Chick-fil-A.
Not Chick-a-Flick. Chick-fil-A. That Chick-fil-A is something else. Chick-fil-A. It's run by Christians. It is the only fast food shop in America that applies the principle of rest. No Chick-fil-A on a Sunday. All their staff are at home. All their shops are closed. But you know what? They don't do any less business than McDonald's. They don't do any less business than their competitors, even though they only work 6 days a week. There's always a long line at one of Grace's favorite places. Always a long line at the drive-thru. So what is it here? Is that working longer doesn't mean you're working harder or that you will earn more. It simply means that you are robbing yourself of the rest that God wants you to have. I worry about young kids today that go to school and they go to tuitions and then they come home and then they're studying and then it's Saturday and Sunday and they're studying and Monday. It's like, take a break. There's only so much a human mind can contain. Take a break. It's okay to cease from looking at your textbooks. You won't fail. Trust me, I didn't fail. You won't fail because you didn't look at your textbook 7 days a week. Give your textbook a rest. Do something that will refresh you, that will replenish you, that will relax you. Spend time with God. Begin to experience the rest that we can have in Jesus Christ, and you will experience things in your life like you have never, ever done before. Amen? So can we, as God's believers living today under the grace of God and the New Testament covenant, still apply the principle of rest without the legalism of keeping the Sabbath? But still setting aside time in our lives where we relax and rest and find time for God, where we can serve. Rest doesn't mean to say you cease from doing something. Actually, for us as rest, our rest is also service. I remember a time I was very stressed and worried as a young boy, and we used to go to Ashadan where we would help young children and people that were picked up off the street. Naomi and I would do that as young teenagers. And I remember one Sunday I was really upset about something. I don't know what it was. I was a teenager, so I didn't know what I was upset about. I remember I didn't want to go and serve. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I didn't want to see anybody. I just wanted to curl up at home and just isolate myself. But I made a commitment to a dying man. And I thought, if I don't go, I don't know if he's going to make it through tonight. And so because of that commitment, I went. And to this day, I remember sitting with him. He was from Ashadan. He was smelly. He was, you know, a mess. But they cleaned him up. He was off the streets. He brought out his oxygen tank. And we sat together on this couch at bench in Ashadan. And I spent about a half an hour just listening to him in his last few, literally hours, because he died the next day, his last few hours on this earth. And you know what? All my stress, all my worry, and all my concern disappeared when I began to hear this man's life. My act of service freed me from the stress and the worry that I was carrying. So when I'm talking about rest, I'm not saying, sorry, I can't come. Sorry, I can't do this. Sorry, I'm resting in the Lord. No, I'm talking about resting is about trusting in God. Resting is about finding those moments where you do find time for yourself to relax and to replenish your energy and your time. However you do that, whether it's playing a sport, whether it is relaxing somewhere, whether it's just reading a book, whatever it is, finding those moments. But also rest is finding those opportunities to serve somebody else. Amen. To be a blessing to somebody else. Because when you do that, you actually, God gives back to you, pressed down, shaken together, in good measure, and overflowing. Amen. Because that is the principle of giving. And so when you give to God in coming here, all of you could be in bed right now, right? Couldn't you? You've all had a busy day, a week. Yes? No? But you all made a priority. In amongst your busyness, you've set aside this time. Happens to be a Sunday. If it was in another country, it could have been a Thursday or a Friday. But you set aside this time because you want to connect with God, with God's people. That's rest. You want to focus in on God. That's rest. You want to come and serve. That is rest. Because when you do those things, God gives back to you. How does God give back to you? Pressed down, shaken together, in good measure, and overflowing. Amen. I want to close on this thought of graven images. The reason we don't have any icons or any images because our God is an unseen God. He is not a God that can be shaped and framed into something. And the Bible clearly instructs us to not worship or give attachment or a priority to anything that is formed, graven on this earth, below, or wherever. But I'm sure none of you worship an idol. But we can create idols that take the place of God in our life. Our careers can become more important than God. Oh, I love God, but I need to achieve my career goals. Therefore, I will work 7 days a week. I need to achieve my marks. Therefore, I will work 7 days a week. I need to become a better person. I need more money in the bank account. Therefore, I will work 7 days a week. I say to most people, if you have the faith and your work is demanding you work on a 7 day, go to them and say, sorry, mate, it's my day of rest. If you want me back next week, I need to rest today. Occasionally, yes, I understand. But if some workplaces make it a habit, you make the habit of standing up for your day of rest because you need it. Because you need to set aside that time where you need to recover and replenish. Here, when we employ our 40, 50 people in our dream centers, we teach them this. We say, you need to rest. Because if you rest in the week, you will give better the other 6 days of the week. Right? Correct? So we need to find those moments and times. And we got to make sure that there is nothing in our lives that competes with God. No graven image. No image that we create in our mind that supersedes God's attention. No career, no bank account, no desire to have more, to do better. All those things are the modern day idols in our lives. None of those should ever take the place of God. Because when they do, we are not trusting God. You with me? When I say I need to work 7 days because I need to earn more, what am I saying? God, I don't trust you. When I say I'm going to push my career as much as I can and never mind my service for God and the things I do for God and my time and my time for fellowship, my time for family, my time with my children, when I compromise all of that, what am I saying? God, I don't trust you. I need to work 7 days a week to make sure that I have enough finances. Let me flip it for you. That's fear driving you, not faith. It's fear driving you to do those things. Instead, I want to encourage you to say, you know what? I'm going to take a day off. And I'm going to trust God that I will have enough business. I'm going to take a day off. I'm going to trust that God that my finances will make it through the week. I'm going to trust God that I will not lose a promotion because I said no and somebody else said yes. Come on. I know workplace pressures. You got a guy that's saying yes to working on your day of rest and you think, do I not? I better go in. I need to be with the crowd. Stand out from the crowd and say, you know what? God is much bigger than my workplace. God is much bigger than my company. God is much greater than my bank account. God is much greater than the turmoil around me. Because when Jesus is in me and with me, what do I have? Rest. But I need to trust Him. Amen? Will you trust God this week? I don't know what some of your challenges you might be facing. I don't know what some of the issues that you've been going through this week, but I know God is speaking to each one of us today to make those alterations, to make sure that nothing in our life is more important than God. To make sure that fear is not our God. That we're not worshiping and feeding fear. But instead, we look to Jesus Christ and we live in faith and we feed our life of faith. Amen? Because when we do, we will never worship any other God and we will have the rest that Jesus promises us. Come to me. What does the Bible say? Come to me. Not I'm going to come to you. What does He say? You come to me. And what does He give you? I will give you rest. Why does He say come? Why is there an invitation? Because God cannot supersede your will. He cannot supersede your desire to keep working. It's your choice. Therefore He says come, which means you have to stop what you're doing and but God, I need to be busy. God, you don't understand my career. God, you don't understand my marks. God, you don't understand my money. I've got to be busy. He says, no. Come to me. And what will I give you? Rest. Oh, isn't that good? Rest. One day, 24 hours of rest. Amen? What would you rather have? What would you rather have? Do you want to be a bunya? Working 7 days a week? Never enough. Open as late as you can. Or do you want to be a son of God? That says, you know what? I'm going to rest. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to believe that God can make and meet all of my needs according to His riches in glory. Amen. Not according to your career path, your bank account, your workplace, as great as they are, there is no one that is greater than Jesus Christ. This morning, as we come to the communion table, come with confidence. If you need to readjust your heart and your mind, do that this morning and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me for not trusting you. God, forgive me for not focusing on you. And today, I'm going to commit to resting in you, coming to you so that you can give me rest. Let's bow our heads. Just take a deep breath, each one of us, right now. And thank God for His Holy Spirit. Thank Him for dying on the cross for us, so that we can have this rest through Jesus Christ, through faith.